Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Lakers fall to the Phoenix Suns. They break their three-game winning streak. It was always going to be a tough one without LeBron playing. He was ruled out, and Chris Haynes said he would be back on Friday. A lot to get into this one. Anthony Davis back, looking like a top five guy. But I think, I want to, again, just credit the coaching staff and the leadership on this team. I think, again, just another night where you could have easily seen the team falter. And I think, if this was last season, I think this game would have been a blowout pretty early. Phoenix went up by like 10 in the second quarter. And then that kind of unit with Lonnie Walker, Austin Reeves, Russell Westbrook, they go on an 18-6 run to go up by, I believe they go up by four before Devin Booker hits a tough shot with the shot clock kind of with the buzzer about to hit. But this team is fine stuff. They're fighting. They're not quitting in games. I think Darvin Ham has the kind of ear of the roster. He has the team playing hard. We're defending well. Phoenix just hit a ton of shots. I mean, I think they were 15 for 28 from three just to start. 15 for 28 from three at one point in this ball game. And, the Lakers defense is kind of susceptible to take those type of jumpers. I mean, Devin Booker comes off those ball screens, and it's very tough with AD at the five to kind of come out on those. And I think they did as good as they could. Patrick Beverley, again, an undersized defender to throw on him. But I guess, we can start with that kind of skirmish at the end. And I thought that was important. It started actually with Anthony Davis goes and scores over DeAndre Ayton. And then DeAndre Ayton comes on the other end and scores right back on him. I think he gets a dunk down low. And they're, talking back and forth, which, makes sense after a physical battle all night, right? Two bigs, both those guys just battling underneath for rebounds or, for paint touches and for, positioning inside. And, they got into it a little bit. And then Austin Reeves just drives on Devin Booker, gets to the paint, goes up, doesn't get the call, gets hit in the face. And Devin Booker kind of stands over him. DeAndre Ayton ends up standing over him. And then Patrick Beverley just comes in with a little forearm shove. Ayton goes to the ground. And that, that was probably extreme. I don't think Patrick Beverley needs to do all that. But I think, that was important. First of all, you can't let your teammate just get stood over like that. Austin's been playing hard. And I think Austin has, the love of the locker room in that sense in terms of, you don't want to see that happen. But, I think, you just can kind of compare that to last season. There was none of that, there was no, and I thought, that skirmish kind of encapsulated the fight, honestly, all night. This team never quit. They never gave up. There's no moral victories. You're 5-11 now. There's no moral victory. This is still quite a hole. Let's not kid ourselves. That's a hell of a hole to come back from. But, you don't get to that without showing some type of grit. And this could have easily been one that you just let walk away, right? You go down 10, no LeBron, he's set to come back the next game. It would have been very easy to kind of just, unpack and let the lead balloon. But, they came back and fought, and Patrick Beverley kind of getting into it, and he didn't play well. I think, his offense has really struggled. But, that's kind of why you go get a Patrick Beverley. I know it's cliche, but, I thought that was important. I think, there's all types of leadership styles and stuff like that. And Patrick Beverley is a very outward guy. He's screaming out loud, and, his actions are going to be loud either way he plays. And, he got 10 boards tonight. I thought that was important. No one other than Anthony Davis and Patrick Beverley was rebounding. And with, AD kind of gobbling up the rebounds as he was, you're not going to obviously get a bunch of people, but I thought we needed kind of more help in that situation. But you know, I thought that that beginning kind of skirmish and stuff was really important to just to show kind of where this team's mentality is at. Even though, you know, they didn't win, or you know, they fought hard. And again, I'm not saying you know, there's no losses that you can be okay with right now, but and there's no moral wins, but still, I just thought, like, you know, moral victories, but I just thought, you know, that was an important kind of just moment. I think it encapsulated how they were playing, and I think, you know, that was big to kind of show the team is still together, and they believe, like, this season still has something to kind of to work with. But let's move to Anthony Davis, man. Oh my goodness. Another just big time performance, 37 points, 21 rebounds. And I still think, you know, those numbers are extremely gaudy, and I still don't think they really encapsulate his dominance from the get go, honestly. Had a kind of slow offensive start, but I think he had 10 rebounds at halftime already, finished a -3 in the game. Again, Phoenix, I thought, was just shooting the lights out, but 11 for 17. Thought there were a lot of plays where we should have just gave him the ball a little bit more. A bunch of plays where we just forced shots, where I thought, you know, Phoenix does a good job. DeAndre Ayton, you know, does his role really well. They want to take away the roll to the rim. And with the Lakers having absolutely no shooting on the floor, they're going to emphasize that even more against a team like us. But I still thought there were a lot of plays, especially in transition. Just AD is running with the guard where we could have gotten plays. But, you know, but either way, like, I thought he just was dominant in his minutes. Again, the 37 points and the 21 rebounds is going to stick out. But 5 blocks, 5 steals. I mean, that's just an absurd line. 37, 21, 5, and 5. That's just stuff that's like top 5 level production. That's like top 5 level offense type of player. And, you know, I think I look at two things with AD. I think, you know, with his dominance, we kind of the numbers can kind of not really tell. But I think number one, getting to the line. And then number two, the rebounds. That, to me, shows, like, his imprint on the game. The scoring kind of will I think he's not going to score 37 tonight. But I think, you know, those two things being consistent as they have been, I think he's the only player since, like, Elgin, Shaq, and I think Wilt to have, like, 35 and 15 for 3 straight games. Has it 4 straight now, obviously, with 37 and 21 tonight. But getting to the line, 15 for 16 from the line. And free throw shooting is really more indicative of how your touch is, how your shooting is. And he's been hitting them this season. I think he's at like 84% coming into this one. Obviously, that'll go up. But I thought he was just incredible. And I think, you know, his play, whether we won tonight or not, if we won tonight because we hit a bunch of threes, I think, you know, I'm not saying, you know, a loss was better, but I think this was a lot more important. Obviously, doing it against San Antonio, Detroit, Brooklyn, that's one thing. Against the Suns teams, that's good, even without, you know, Chris Paul or Cam Johnson. I still think that's a legit team on the other end, and that's the number two seed in the West, I believe, right now. Like, this was a legit dominant performance, and I think it really spells to kind of where the team can go, and I think it should kind of spell the urgency of this team as well. And again, like, I think he put the team on his back, and you know, this AD being this good, like, should really kind of change the fortunes of how, you know, this team should kind of approach where they want to go, where they're going to be, and what moves to make. Like, I think if he is at this level, and he's shown it for a few weeks now, and we'll see if that kind of continues. But I think, you know, his play will really kind of tell me, really kind of tells me how they should approach the rest of the season. So I think he's been just magnificent. And there's just no words. I mean, I wish they could have got this win for him. No one really else was there, especially defensively, but you know, Lonnie Walker came through with his points, and I thought Russell Westbrook was fine. A lot of bad decisions going to the rim, but Anthony, I think you're up here. I've been kind of rambling. This is like the most excited I think I've been after a loss. I know they lost, but I know there's no moral victories. Where what did you feel kind of about this one?
Yeah, I mean, basically the whole point of these 20 games that Pelinka is kind of waiting for is finding out what AD has in the tank, what LeBron has in the tank. And AD this last week or so has been a top 5 player in the league. You know, he's up there again. If he's going to keep, now I don't think anybody expects him to keep up 30 and 15 for the rest of the season, but you know, if he's capable of doing this with any regularity, that's more than we could really say this last year or so. And I just, you know, in terms of like if the Lakers were looking for, you know, if they have like a checklist of boxes that they have to look at and get answers for before they're willing to commit to this team with those 27 and 29 picks, like one of them was, all right, what are we going to get from Anthony Davis? You know, last year he kind of meandered through the first part of the season. Then he got hurt and then he came back and looked more explosive and then he got hurt again. And both of those were kind of freak injuries that he got hurt on, but he never really looked quite like Anthony Davis. And he certainly didn't look the way that he's looked this last week or so. And if this is the Anthony Davis that they're going to have, and if they can get LeBron to like 90% of LeBron, and you know, then that's a team that I think there, that's at least a pairing that I'm willing to commit to this season. Cause I just don't know what the alternative is. Like if they can't compete now with those guys, then what's competing going to look like when those guys are gone?
No. Yeah. So I think, you know, and you've been pushing the trade thing for a while as well. And I said, like, this team has to show some level of competency. And I think this is kind of what I meant. Like, obviously, AD throwing up these gaudy numbers, I don't think you're going to see every night. But he's been, like you said, like a top five level guy. Like, the Suns could not get to the rim when he was on the floor. He shut off the paint. They hit a bunch of jumpers, but I thought that was kind of in the scheme. But he just looked – this is the best AD has looked in 2 years. Like, I don't think that's a –
His jumper
was going as well. He hit two mid-range shots in a row, throws. Which I think
the free throws going. Yeah, was it 15 of 16 from the line? Like that's the kind of thing that like when draft people study kids coming out of college, one of the things that they really focus on is free throw shooting because that means that you're able to repeat the things that make your jumper successful. And like this wasn't some outlier for AD this year. He's been good from the line this year, and I honestly think that like his shooting is more of a confidence thing. And I think over the course of the year, if he keeps shooting like this from the free throw line, and then you know maybe builds that out from the mid range, and then he gets more confident being able to take threes, like that's the unicorn AD. That's the special AD that like that there just isn't an answer for. DeAndre Ayton is like, he's not a bad center. Like I don't think he really cares about Phoenix right now. So I think that might be a factor. But AD had him in Alcatraz, man. Like poor Bismack Biyombo didn't know what else to do but to just commit flagrants and somehow not get called on any of them. I agree. This is what I'm going to say on the lowdown too. It's, you know, the Lakers record is too bad for moral victories. They need actual victories.
Sure.
But one thing that you and I have really banged the drum on this year is building something, right? Cultivating something, making some progress. And this is the most important place, I think, organizationally for the Lakers to make progress is getting AD back to like unicorn AD.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of what we've been seeing. I don't know if the jumper will ever kind of return to where it's been, but in the past. But I think this is kind of what we've been asking for. He's looked like the top five guy, and that was like one of the check marks. I think that, and can the team kind of just hold its head above water? I mean, I think 5-11. I'm not sure if that's what that is, but like, can the team kind of get to some point where they'll invest in it? And we'll see. They said LeBron will be back Friday, and you said, you know, 90%. I'll take 80%, like 80% of actual LeBron, because I think, you know, this season he's really struggled on offense. But if we can get that guy with Anthony Davis back, man, I'm not saying they're a good team yet, but, you know, I think you know, this is the roadmap. Like, those two, and, you know, well, before we get to the other guys, Andy, what do you think of the skirmish? I thought it was a really good thing. I know these aren't the place for like cliches and stuff, but I thought, you know, it's not something we saw last year at all. And it was probably extreme, but you know, I think I'd rather have that than not, if that makes sense. Like, I'd rather have some semblance of like, you can't just do that to my guy. And I think that showed like at least some type of team, you know, Patrick Beverley's probably not the best representative to do that, but like, I'm just saying, like, I think that was a good thing for the team overall. What'd you think of that?
Yeah, I thought it was good on a couple fronts. Like, it got Pat out of the game for the rest of the game, so it was, you know, it was a good move there.
Good basketball move.
Yeah, right. I really disagreed with bringing Schroeder off of the bench there. I was hoping that they would go to Troy Brown instead. He really struggled. It was a bad Troy Brown game. But, like, Schroeder is just giving nothing right now. And when you have Russ out there, you don't need Schroeder to create off of the dribble. So, but yeah, I just saw, in seriousness, I do actually agree that, like, Pat getting in there, I think the Lakers really lack physicality on this roster because they are so small. Like, they could really use, like, a Markieff Morris or mm-hmm. you know, a DeMarcus Cousins or a Dwight Howard, you know, guys that like, when players drive into the basket, they knew, all right, either I'm going to make this or I'm going to get to the line, but I'm going to feel some contact here on my way to the basket. And I think the Lakers really lack that kind of presence. And yeah, it's Patrick Beverley, and it's shoving DeAndre Ayton in the back or whatever, and it's not like your productive type of physicality that shows up on a basketball court. But it does kind of, like, it's Reeves, right? And this is your starting shooting guard, hopefully, for the yep. remainder of the season. And he had two guys, like, he had one guy smack him upside the face and then stand over him. And then DeAndre Ayton, which I really didn't understand. Like, he got the ball at the left wing and wandered over to Reeves and stood over him.
Yeah.
And, like, you have two guys standing over him while Reeves is, like, massaging his face on the floor. AD's kind of like, I didn't know if AD knew what to do there, but it was really like AD's reaction to Pat going over there and, like, knowing what to do was hilarious because he was like, oh shit, where'd Ayton go? And then, but yeah, I think it's good that Pat, like, sent that message of, like, yeah, sure, we're about to lose this thing or whatever, but what I'm not going to have is these two guys just kind of stand over somebody after a flagrant foul.
Yeah, like, it to me, it encapsulated, like, the fight. I think they fought all game, and then, you know, we had some trash talking between AD and Ayton back and forth, and then Ayton, you know, and Devin Booker started to really kind of show off and stuff like that, and you kind of get a play like that. But, yeah, I think that was great. I thought, like, it just really showed a togetherness that I'm hoping kind of goes into more wins and losses on the scoreboard. But, yeah, I thought, you know, that was really important. Like, I don't think we saw any of that last year. And this was a game I thought they could have really quit. They were down, like, 12 early. Like, I think it showed that Darvin Ham has the team kind of together. And I'm hoping that continues, man. And we're going to see. We have some easier games coming up. But, you know, you talked about it before. Like, Patrick Beverley extremely struggling. I love this Austin Reeves and Lonnie Walker backcourt. So, like, I think that's the team kind of together. Like, we're really starting to find, I think, stuff that goes together. And I think that's what this first kind of section of the season was, kind of see who should play, who shouldn't. You know, I think Kendrick Nunn, I think that's enough. I think we've seen enough. But Dennis Schroeder obviously has struggled. But what do you think of the Austin Reeves and Lonnie Walker background? Because I think that's – we're finding cores of the team to kind of build with. And I think those two have kind of separated themselves so far.
Yeah, I like the, you know, look, the Lakers won with mm-hmm. faster, right? And obviously Reeves isn't faster there. But he is playing bigger. Like, he is willing to you know, put defenders in jail when he turns the corner, and he's willing to yeah. get a shoulder into guys on offense, and he is willing to play with that kind of physicality on offense and still try to compete, I think, on defense. So I like that pairing. I especially when LeBron is back, I think that pairing there makes the most sense. And then, you know, from there, it just becomes a matter of, like, you know, does Pat need to start there? Does that eventually become Dennis Schroeder to give you a little bit more on ball creativity? You know, eventually, like, if Pat can't make shots or even take shots, right. I just don't see the point in having him out there. It's because it's not like he's some lockdown defender either at this stage of his career too. He's 34 years old. He's not exactly in his prime. So yeah, I completely agree that should be the backcourt, and whether it's Troy Brown at the wing there, or, you know, maybe eventually that the trade gets made and they bring in a starting small forward somehow maybe that would make the most sense there. But you know, again, it's a matter of finding stuff to build on, and this seems like one of those things that they can really build on here.
Yeah, and I think those two have just played really great. I thought tonight would be the biggest test against a Phoenix team that's, you know, really good. Again, Mikal Bridges gives everyone hell, and I thought Lonnie Walker still being able to just put pressure on the rim in a way that like none of our other guards do. I think that's so important. I can't wait, man. I hope that, you know, we stay with this Lonnie and Austin, especially when LeBron comes back and LeBron can add another, you know, edge of physicality to that starting lineup, and we can start to build a good team, Anthony. I think, you know, this is, we have like six guys or seven guys that I like really trust now. And I think, you know, Thomas Bryant is a part of that as well. I think he showed that like he's a legit NBA rotation guy, and we're getting stuff that starts to work. I think the Austin Reaves and Lonnie Walker have been like a huge plus the last few games, especially getting like chemistry with AD. Russ off the bench, I think, has worked as well as it could have. We're building here, and I think those, and again, you're 5-11. I get that we're not gonna celebrate that, but I think we're starting to find stuff, and we're getting close, I think.
This is advertiser content brought to you by Frito-Lay.
Hello, I'm Chip Murphy, here to get you ready for the big tournament. Tonight we break down who will be cutting. Cut! What are you two doing?
Sorry, Chip. Prez here got his feathers ruffled when I told him Ruffles has zero chance of winning the title.
And I was letting Dip know that she is not taking into account Ruffles' iconic ridges.
Guys, it's March. We have to start talking about the tournament.
We are. It is the 2023 Frito-Lay Snack-It.
We're talking about big-time matchups between Cheetos, Smartfood, Lay's, Sun Chips, and more.
Just head to the Frito-Lay Snack Bracket and vote for your favorite chip, pretzel, or dip for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks.
This sounds great. Keep up the good work.
Just go to Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends 4-3-2023. Void where prohibited. Here's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Lakers, obviously, tonight was a game that would have been nice to win, especially given, like, how they competed over the course of it. It sucks to lose. Yeah. When it's so easily identifiable, like why they lost, you're not going to beat a team shooting 25% from 3-point range and making four of them over the course of the game. You're not going to win that game. It's the kind of thing.
Russ hit like, half of those, by the way. So
yeah, I still think like the guys in our silver screen Slack are still giving me a hard time because I still want AD to take threes. If he's shooting like that from the free throw line, I do think he should take one or two threes per game. There's no reason to me, like if he's this capable from the 3-point line, there's no reason to me to, other than if it is just like and we do see this sometimes where players will get what's the word I'm thinking of? When Chuck Knoblauch couldn't throw to from second base. Yips. Yep. Like when a player just gets the yips and they're capable everywhere else and they just for whatever reason freeze up when they shoot from that from that range, if that's the case here with AD, then maybe that's what's going on. But he looks like I watched Bismack Biyombo shoot a free throw today, right? And you're like, okay, yeah, that guy probably shouldn't be shooting anywhere further than like inside the rim. But like AD's shot, it looks fluid. It looks like the kind of thing that you should be able to repeat from a few steps out. It's not like he's a weak player, right? He's a giant human being. So you're talking about 6 feet difference stepping back to make that 3-pointer. It seems like the kind of thing he should be able to do. And again, it's like I would take an AD 3-pointer over like a Russ 3-pointer, right? And Russ is out there letting it fly, and AD seems still kind of reluctant. I'd like to see him fire away from there. Austin Reaves needs to get them up at a more generous pace than he is so far. What did he shoot? One 3-point attempt from Austin Reaves today.
Yeah, too low. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not enough. Walker 6 attempts is fine. I'm cool with that. But yeah, they just it's the kind of game that like you felt like the Lakers could have snuck out of there with a win in this one, and shooting that poorly just ends any conversation on that. But look, like they're sitting right now at 5-11, and they have three games here: San Antonio, Indiana. Those are all, I think, as close to must wins that you can get in November. And then if you can wrap up, you know, maybe you sneak out that you have Portland at home. Maybe I don't think they'll have Dame by then.
Right.
So maybe you can kind of sneak out of there with a win there too. And now you're looking at 9-11 by the time Rob reaches that 20 game number that he was looking for. and hopefully, you know, you get LeBron back. Like that's like the only reason the Lakers wouldn't have made a trade, right, is if they were sitting at like 5-15 and the season was clearly over. But I think the Lakers have avoided that outcome here. And there's just no reason, I think, to just completely forego competing this season. I just, especially with the way that AD is playing, you don't get seasons like this very often. That it looks like that we might get here from AD, and you got to take advantage.
Yeah, Anthony, I feel like Rob said that in passing, and you're like holding him accountable. Like I feel like the 20 games marker is going to pass. But I hope you're right. But no, with the shooting, it's interesting because they've really like taken down the attempts. You take away Russ's threes; he was 2-for-6. That means the rest of the team shot 2-for-16 from three. 16 three-point attempts from the rest of the roster in a full game. That just tells you kind of, I think, what they've emphasized, and they've really told them to, like, stop shooting unless you're wide open, which, you know, makes sense for a bad shooting team. But then your margin for error is zero, right, because you're not winning the three-point shooting game, which means you have to win the free throw battle, which they did, win the points in the paint, which they did. But, yeah, when you lose it by this much of a margin, the Suns, I think, took 34 threes, hit 47% of them, which – man, Mikal Bridges hit like 5 of them, Anthony, that I think like were good defense. Like I think he just hit step back threes, and it's just when they can hit those. Devin Booker, I think, didn't even shoot that well. He went 2-for-6, but I think, you know, you forced Devin Booker into a 10-for-24 night, 24 shots to get 25 points. You did your job on Devin Booker, in my opinion. Like that's, I thought the defense was pretty good. We forced them into long twos for most of the night. Mikal Bridges again took 7 threes. I thought most of them were off the dribble shots. But yeah, like I think, you know, we played a pretty good game. But yeah, when the margin for error with your shooting is so low, 4-for-22, 2-for-16 for everyone not named Russ, it's really tough. And you talked about Patrick Beverley passing up shots. He was 0-for-1 from three. I think he was open a bunch. You know, so I'm hopeful, you know, LeBron comes back. Maybe, you know, he can create a little bit better looks on that front as well. Our guards aren't really, you know, those type of guards are playmakers in that way. But yeah, like I think we're getting close, and you know, you get AD playing at this level, LeBron playing at that level, and our shooting luck just goes up a little bit. We've been shooting like 37%, 36%, 18% is back to kind of how we started the season, but I don't think we're at 18%, like on 2-for-16 really shooting if you remove Russ. So I'm hoping that kind of goes up. You're not going to win very many games shooting like that.
Well, and the part of it, the reluctance to shoot. Like you and I have talked a lot about this, I think, at this stage of the season. It's the idea of like efficiency versus productivity, right?
Right.
If we were just talking about, you know, cold, hard tactics, yes, a team that is as bad at shooting as the Lakers are probably shouldn't shoot very many three-pointers. That seems fairly rudimentary, right? Like that's the kind of thing that like Captain Obvious would say on those commercials.
Definitely.
But like that said, when you're reluctant to shoot, it allows the defense to do so many different things. Like I know you're not a football guy. I'm a Vikings fan, and the Dallas Cowboys just absolutely boat raced my Vikings over the weekend. And what we started to see was, you know, because they had an offensive lineman go out, and because we started to see that, like, that I think Dallas started seeing, well, they have to pass now, so we're just going to send the blitz at them constantly over and over and over again. And when you allow a defense to know something is coming and know how to defend you, it you make that defense so much better. And with defenses knowing as the game goes on, oh yeah, Pat's not going to shoot that. We can take an extra step into the paint to make sure that Russ and AD's pick and roll is that much more cluttered. We know that Austin isn't going to shoot it. He's willing to get run off of the three-point line, so we can close out a little shorter to him too, and defend him that way. And the only guy who looks like he should be shooting and isn't reluctant to shoot looks like Lonnie Walker. And if he's your best shooter, then yeah, that's you're really asking for, you know, all of your other margins to go perfectly if that's the case. And I just don't think, like, I agree with you. They aren't an 18% three-point shooting team, but they're approaching the game as if they are, and that makes it so much more easy for the defense to defend.
Yeah, no, for sure. And there's a line there, right? And I think to start the season, Darvin Ham was like, just let it fly, right? And, you know, a lot of the players kind of said that as well. Darvin Ham's like, if I have a little bit of space, just fired it up, and that's obviously changed.
That's hilarious to think about, right? He's like, let it fly. And then he did. He's like, oh shit, never mind. Hold on.
That's definitely something that happened. I'm 100% sure. Like, this much of a drop is just like, go look at our early shootings, Anthony. We were shooting like 40 threes a game.
Yeah.
And we were like, what, 8 for 40? You know what I mean? Like, those were the numbers. And he was like, yeah, you know what? Let's just let
It's such like a, it's just because Darvin is like ever the optimist, right? At like, he's looking for like the plus side on any situation. And even he is like, oh my God, what the hell? Don't shoot that. Like, don't do it. Just take the dribble in. That's incredible.
Yeah. So like, yeah, that's definitely, and I think it's helped our like margin for like, yeah, let's go in the paint. Let's give Anthony Davis the ball, like, duh. But yeah, like, it's really changed our whole offense, I think. And we're more like pick and roll. Let's get to the rim. Even if like AD has two people on him, just throw the ball up, you know, let him go get it. Like, let him go jump with like two guys. And I think it's changed our offensive flow. But there's definitely like, we're going to have to hit some open shots. Like Troy Brown, he only took three, but I thought those three threes were like massive.
All of them felt big.
Yeah. Like every single one was like, we moved the ball, you know, like the ball had good energy. It swung to him wide open. We're like on a nice run and he missed. He was 0-for-5. This was the worst Troy Brown game I think I've seen, which is going to happen. Like, he's a minimum wing. He's a minimum wing. Yeah, I'm not going to expect too much. But even his bad games, I was like, it wasn't loud, right? It's not like I wasn't noticing Troy Brown every 2 minutes. Yeah, and Patrick Beverley, like, had 10 rebounds. I think he contributed there. But, yeah, just could not score. Minus 15, which was double, almost about double of any other player. And he's really struggled. But, yeah, I think, you know, those are kind of where the team's building around. And they've kind of switched. Darvin Ham's like, we're going to run through Anthony Davis. And we're like, what is that going to look like? And I think this is kind of what pick and roll. He's running like 10 pick and rolls, like almost every other possession. It's crazy, the switch. Remember last year, it'd be like just post up, post up, post up. And we've really kind of gone away with that. And I think that's to credit Darvin Ham. I think AD's better in like a pick and roll kind of scheme. I wish the guards looked for him just a little bit more. I mean, he goes 11 for 17, Anthony. I'd like him to be like 11 for 20, you know, or 23. Like, I'd like him to get a couple more shots up, but I don't know how much, what else to ask from him. This is kind of where the team's at. We've kind of leveled out. I think the rotation's going to level out when LeBron comes back. But you play the Spurs twice. Like, those are wins you have to get, and the West isn't kind of running away with it. And we've got AD back, like, to where he was, and LeBron's next to show that he's back at that level too.
Yeah, I look, the 11 of 17 from AD, like, he shot 16 free throws, so it was probably closer to like 11 of 25 or something like that. But it's look, all we've been asking for from AD, like, it's kind of like when you come off of a game and you know, your offense puts up 125 points, but you give up 127, and you're looking at LeBron like, man, you didn't make that extra rotation there. It's like, right. Yeah, but he probably played a pretty big part in the 125 part point. You know, so like AD, it's hard to ask anything more of him. No, I think it really all just kind of comes down to, like, at some point, somebody is going to have to be a willing shooter, like, say, somebody who should be, right? Pat, like, was brought over and billed as one of the Lakers, but probably the best catch and shoot player that the Lakers have on their team. And right now he's catch and hesitate. Like, if he's unwilling to shoot, then all right, get him off of there and find somebody who is willing to shoot. If Austin isn't willing to shoot, somebody, like, my favorite quote so far this season was, was Lonnie on my show saying that, like, yeah, I passed up a shot, and had Russ immediately in my ear saying, like, you got to take that. I pass, you shoot, right? We need more guys reminding the guys who need to shoot, whether it's Brown, whether it's Reeves, whether it's Walker, whether it's Pat. Like, those guys, those four guys are the Lakers' best shooters. And, yeah, that says a lot about this roster and the caliber of the roster and the mistakes that were made in the offseason. But it is still what the Lakers have to work with right now. And you're not going to get much better games than this from AD. You certainly can't expect any better games than this from AD. So what it's going to take is somebody else stepping up to make it so – to make life easier on AD.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously the offense didn't come through for him. But, yeah, like, I think, you know, AD's night tonight was more important than just this win. Again, just not a moral victory. But, like, I thought, you know, if we won this game just because we just – went lights out from three or something. Like, I think AD kind of showing, like, he can dominate even really good teams. That was the story. That was the story to me. And it's been the story this week. Obviously, he didn't win the player of the week or whatever. But, you know, I feel like he's been up there with the best player in the league the last, you know, few weeks. And that's all we asked for. I think, you know, the team has kind of seen that. I think it's been a long enough sample size to where, you know, it's not just a little short stint anymore. He looks healthy, and that – oh, Anthony, I think I lost a few years off my life when that wrist thing happened. I think I couldn't breathe for a little while. I'm not gonna lie; like I had my breath held for a pretty long time, and then
I was just confused because I saw that, like, they showed the play, they showed the replay a bunch, and I'm like, what did he do? Like, what happened? Like, I, you know, usually you can identify, especially with a wrist, right? Like, if you fall on it, or, you know, somebody hits it really hard, whatever. But he didn't even, like, fall on that wrist. He banged his arm on Devin Booker. And, like, I mean, yeah, like, hitting something with that kind of resting bitch face was probably not good for anybody's body. But, like, that's – it's not – it didn't make any sense. And it made me wonder, like, you know, was that the first time he ever got hit in the funny bone? Like, is that is that what we just saw there? Because, yeah, I've never seen anybody react like that. He says it's still kind of numb. He's not worried about it, but he says it's still kind of numb. And look, I've hit my funny bone. Like, I remember I was playing football in the front yard and ran into, like, a trash can while I was going for a catch. And I hit that – you hit the top of the trash can and – it was really crazy. I was playing football with Patrick Beverly, hit the trash can.
And, oh, man.
And like, my whole arm just went numb and was numb for like 2 hours. So, like, those nerves, you never quite know how the body's going to react to that. But yeah, that was such a weird play. Cause you couldn't identify any one place that he clearly got hurt. So just, you know, hopefully he just, you know, he has a couple days here to rest and recuperate. And he was still shooting fine even with it. So I'm not particularly worried moving forward.
Yeah, the worst thing, I think, especially this, for some reason it always happens on, like, a TNT broadcast, I feel like these type of injuries. I'm not sure why, but it, like, Reggie Miller always, like, he's still holding that hand. I'm like, Reggie, please, like, I just let me just, you know, watch him play. Like, he's still on the floor, he's fine. And Reggie, like, every single time, like, he's still holding the hand. I'm like, yeah, like, it's fine. It's fine. Well,
again, like, it feels weird when you hit your funny bone. Like, you are going to flex your hand until you regain. Sure. So it's like I never looked over at AD and saw him, like, wincing in pain. It was more just like, come on, hand, wake up. Let's go. Like, and Reggie's acting like his hand has fallen off. Like, can you believe what we're witnessing? It's like, Reggie, Reggie, chill. Shit. He's fine.
Yeah, it was very scary to me, but I was glad he stayed on the floor. The last note I had, actually, Anthony, did you I'm not sure if you got to hear this part of the broadcast, but I think the announcer, I forgot who it was, Marv Albert who did the game
tonight? No,
well, not Marv.
I think he retired.
Not Marv though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they were bringing up, he's like, oh, I have a stat for you, and, you know, he was building up the analytics kind of conversation. Then he brought up true shooting percentage, and I thought that was just hilarious. He brought up true shooting percentage like it was this alien, you know, like he was like, he's like, Reggie, I hope you're ready. I know you hate analytics. I'm about to bring you just this crazy analytics. And he's like, Austin Reeves, true shooting percentage. And I was like, thought that was just a hilarious
Reggie movie. Miller's hand goes numb just thinking about analytics. Like, he's just like, I can't do this. No, I'm annoyed at my Kevin Harlan. Was it Kevin Harlan?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I love that dude. He's so good at it. I kind of think he was milking that because he knows that Reggie hates the analytics. So he was like, I heard it too. And I was anticipating him saying like PER, you know, like plus minus, like, you know, these analytics they're getting kind of crazy. Austin Reeves has the highest plus minus on the Lakers. And Reggie just like falls out of his chair.
Yeah, I thought he was gonna bring up VORP or something, and he brought up like true shooting percentage, which is like which is so surface level by now that like it's hilarious.
He's like, yeah man, these analytics are going nuts. It looks like Russell Westbrook has 4 assists. Can you believe it? What? Hold on.
I'm glad we can, you know, laugh after a loss. I mean, I think this is the best I've felt about the team. There's a direction going. There's an identity built. And, you know, I think it's been fun. And hopefully, you know, LeBron comes back Friday to a team that's, you know, still healthy. And you know, I was missing Max Christie tonight, Anthony, which I don't know what that says about, you know, the other players.
A lot. Playing. A lot. It says a lot, Raj. It says quite a bit.
I saw Kendrick Nunn out there. I was like, man, is Max Christie still in health and safety? Like, what's going on?
Yeah. Well, honestly, it felt like the kind of game that Matt Ryan should have gotten some minutes. Like, they really, like, they desperately needed somebody to step in and just shoot. Like, it, not just make, obviously, ideally, whoever would shoot would make a couple shots. But get somebody out there that the defense has to care about when they're open at the three-point line.
Do you think Darvin Ham saw Matt or like told Matt like, yeah, you have a green light? And he's like, oh, not that green. Like, he saw Matt Ryan start to play. And he's like, oh, you really bought that, huh?
Matt, like, Matt, we're going to find out Matt has like green eyes. And Matt, like, Darvin Ham was telling him, like, hey, man, your eyes look super green in this light. And he's like, oh, I got to shoot. Time to let it fly, baby. My time to shine.
I love it. He understands. He knows what he does. He doesn't try to dribble. Doesn't try to do anything that, you know, he's not. And I guess last thing, that's like when I watch Dennis Schroeder play. Anthony, this is not Dennis Schroeder. Like, Dennis Schroeder is acting like he's Rajon Rondo. Like, he's walking up the court. He's like taking. I'm like, we played a 4-guard lineup that played slow. I didn't get that at all. So hopefully he finds himself and. Because I think Dennis Schroeder is an NBA player. Like, you mentioned Matt Ryan there. He's on the fringe. I think Dennis Schroeder, like, is a player that should be in the league. We'll see if that's on our team. But, like, I think Dennis Schroeder is an NBA player. So, hopefully he can kind of...
I mean, Boston's season immediately turned around when he was no longer in Boston.
Yeah. Did that happen? I think those are, like, other... Like, I know he gets blamed for that, and I totally get that. But I think that kind of changed, number one. Marcus Smart was given, like, you know,
no,
the point
I know.
Guard.
Derek White showed up and, like, he really did help. But no, but, like, look, I know people have high hopes for Dennis Schroeder, but he was essentially out of the league for like, until, like, a month ago. You don't get signed that deep into the offseason. And, like, I had some people saying, like, oh, he was focused on FIBA. It's like, yeah, that's the kind of thing an agent says when his guy isn't getting signed. You know what? I am currently focused on FIBA. Like, that's why I'm not in the pros, Raj. I'm focused on FIBA basketball. So, he's going to have to be, like, whoever it is, like, because the Lakers do need another ball handling guard to step up, right? Whether it's Nunn, especially if they ever do trade Russell Westbrook, they're going to need one of Nunn, one of him or Schroeder or Pat to really kind of step up. Because right now they have two guards who I'm comfortable with on the court, right? Between Reeves and Walker, and they need a third. They really, really need a third guy, especially for if and when Russ gets moved.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's funny. And just last thing, I think Dennis reminds me a lot of, like, remember last year we were putting Russ off the ball and putting him in corners. And we're like, yeah, Russ, like, you know, just sit and wait there for the ball to come to you. And that's, like, not Russell Westbrook. And I feel like I'm watching Dennis Schroeder, who we saw for a year on the Lakers. It was a different coaching staff. I get that. But, like, this is just not him. Like, he's waiting for the ball to come to him, taking catch and shoot threes that take 15 seconds long. Like, there's just like, there's, it's not him. So I'm hoping like we find a role where like he gets to be himself, and maybe that's not a role on this team, but I just like what we have him in, that's not him. Like, he's picking up full court. I think he's playing good defense, but like his offense, like he just looks like neutered to a player. That's not Dennis Schroeder's game. He lives off of like that confidence, that swagger as well, to a lesser degree than Russ does, but like to that level. And I think we haven't seen that yet.
He needs to play the role that Russ is in right now, you know?
Yeah. Like,
essentially, he just needs to be given the keys to the second unit when they start really running. Have him play next to Wenyen, right? I think he can have a lot of the same success that Wenyen and Russ had earlier on this year. You know, get Reeves in those lineups, get when JTA comes back and you let those guys get out in transition. I think that's where Schroeder might find the most success that he's going to find on this team. But yeah, that they need one more guard to look like they belong on an NBA court. Right now they have two. Well, yeah. Three. Yeah. Russ is the third. So they have three.
Yeah. He looks like he's trying not to step on toes, which again, just not his game. This was fun. You know, again, I don't know how much we got into Thomas Bryant, who I think played well as well. I like that Thomas Bryant Wenyen lineup, and I'm hoping they can go and sweep this San Antonio series. That's all I had. Anthony, do you have anything else to close from this one?
No. Just if you guys enjoyed this conversation, make sure you guys check out all of the rest of the stuff on the pod feed. We've had we had Domin on there. We had Lonnie Walker on last week. We had Meta the week before that. So some fun shows, some fun episodes, some fun conversations.
Yep. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Anthony, for coming up. And we will be with you. I don't think we'll be doing one after the Friday game, but no. the next game after that. And thanks for everyone for listening. This has been the Lakers post game show presented by Service Screen and Roll.